Good morning, ABC. How we doing? So good to see you all. Hope you're having a great weekend. If I have not met you before, my name is Kyle Bryant. I'm the college pastor here at ABC. So glad to have you all this weekend. If you have a Bible, you can go and turn it to the book of Romans, Romans chapter 12. We're going to be in verses 4 and 5 today, which means we're actually covering more than one verse in this sermon series for the first time so far. But you can go ahead and turn there. I want to say hey to everybody joining us on our live stream as well. Sorry for the technical issues, but hopefully it looks and sounds okay for you now. But you in the room, hopefully it looks okay. Otherwise, put your glasses on. All right. So, but good to see you. So just kind of update you on this series and what we've been talking about so far as we get into our text today is we've been talking about the gospel in real life found in Romans 12. So far, we've been talking about how we respond to the gospel by offering our whole lives in response to the mercy of God as an act of worship. And the way that we do this is that God transforms us into completely new people as we offer our lives to him. And then a few weeks ago, we talked about how that ends up with us having renewed minds and that God is in the process of renewing our minds. And last week, Jared led us through how our renewed minds should think about ourselves, that we shouldn't think too highly of ourselves, but think rightly with sober judgment, as verse 3 would say. And I like the way Jared said it last week. Jared said, to rightly understand ourselves, we have to rightly stand under Christ. I like that idea. But today in Romans 12, we're going to see really the second way that we are supposed to think rightly about ourselves. The first way we saw last week in that we remember who we are in Christ to think rightly about ourselves. This week, we're going to see the second way that we can rightly understand ourselves, and that's in verses 4 and 5. And that the second way we rightly understand ourselves is to remember to whom we belong, that we belong to the body of Christ. And that's where we're going to focus in today. Is we're going to talk about some body language. We're going to talk about the body of Christ today. So what I want us to do is we're actually going to read the first five verses of Romans 12 to get the context here, and then we'll get into the text. So if you'll stand with me in honor of God's word as we read verses 1 through 5 of Romans 12, if you're able, and then we will pray, and then we'll get going in this. Chapter 12, verses 1 through 5, this is God's word. It says this, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. And here's our text for today. For as in one body, we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function. So we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Let's pray together. Father, we come to you today, and we admit our need for you to open our eyes, open our hearts to see the truth of your word. We come today recognizing, Lord, our inability on our own to understand it, but your Spirit's ability to illuminate it in our hearts and minds. And Father, as we come today, I pray that as we look at, or have been looking at all the ways that we respond rightly to the gospel by offering up our whole lives as individuals to you, by thinking rightly as who we are in Christ, and as we have our minds renewed through your Spirit, I pray today we would think rightly about our role in the church and the beauty that you have created here in the church to be a gospel community where we need each other, where we build each other up, and we even send each other out weekly to be your witnesses in the world. Pray in Christ's name, amen. All right, you guys can have a seat. So recently I had the delightful experience of having a kidney stone. You ever been there before? Not a fun thing. It's about 2 months ago on a Friday night. I felt terrible, didn't know what was going on. And then I got that, you know, inevitable, just terrible stabbing pain. I'm probably triggering somebody right now with this. But, you know, I got that terrible stabbing pain in my upper back, you know, had no idea what was wrong. And so I ended up going to the hospital, which Chris Snell, thank you for taking me to the hospital. He's going to be ordained as a deacon today. He was a servant to me during that time. So go to the hospital. They diagnosed me kidney stone. And I was really sad because I hoped I was an exception to my family because most of my family, my dad, my brother, have dealt with multiple kidney stones. Hoped I was the exception to the rule. I'm not, turns out. And so, But they did a scan to see how, you know, big it was and where it was, all kind of stuff like that. And I was amazed because they scanned it, and that kidney stone was only about 2 millimeters in, I guess, diameter. That is tiny. 2 millimeters. And I was amazed that something so small causing issues in my body could cause so much pain and so much discomfort. And thankfully, I passed it pretty quickly. I haven't had issues since then. But it amazed me that something so small in my body could cause so much pain and discomfort. And we're going to talk about that idea a little bit today, that, you know, even little things in the body of Christ are incredibly important. And the ways that we interact with each other are incredibly important. That every part of the body, even the parts we don't think about a lot, like our kidneys, they matter a lot in the body of Christ, all right? So today's main point is this. I'll give you one sentence that we'll break down through our time today. It's this: as members of the body of Christ, we need three things. We need connection, we need unity, and we need each other. We need connection, we need unity, and we need each other. But just for a second as we start, I think it's important for us to reflect on this idea of what it means to be part of the body of Christ. Because if you look in verses 4 and 5 here today, really Paul's giving like a tweetable, kind of short version of his larger comments that he includes in 1 Corinthians 12, where he gets to, in a lot of details of that. And we'll kind of pull in some of his thoughts today as we go through our time. But the first one I want to mention, so if you want to have 1 Corinthians 12 open, you can. But the first thing I want to mention from 1 Corinthians 12 is this. It's 1 Corinthians 12, 13. It gives us more insight into Paul's thoughts about the body of Christ. He says this in 1 Corinthians 12, 13. For in one spirit, we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free. And all were made to drink of one spirit. And what Paul is saying here is that every person who's repented and put their faith in Jesus, who's become a Christian, they are part of the body of Christ, whether they like it or not, essentially. And he's saying, you know, when he says baptized into one body, he's not just talking about like water baptism, although he's absolutely alluding to that. He's actually going even deeper. He's referring to being baptized by the Holy Spirit, the regenerating power that the Holy Spirit has in our life that moves us from death to life when we put our faith in Jesus. And that's why he says in those verses that we were made to drink of one spirit, that every Christian, when they become a Christian, has or becomes filled with the Holy Spirit to where they're born again, and they then become part of the body of Christ spiritually. So to say it simply, you know, when you become a Christian, spiritually, your life is now hidden in Christ, that his death is your death for your sin, that his life is now your life in him. So if you're a Christian, you're in Christ. And if you're in Christ, you're part of his body, and his body is really expressed in the church. So if you're a Christian, you're in Christ. If you're in Christ, you're part of his body. And if you're in his body, you're in the church, because the church is the representation of Christ in the world, and every Christian is part of it. But you may have heard before, there's kind of two senses of the word church. You know, you have the universal church, the capital C church. And you have the local church, the lowercase c church. The universal church would be the collection of all believers from all over the world, really throughout all of time. But then there's the local church, churches like Alberta Baptist Church, other churches in Tuscaloosa, all over the world. But it's interesting because if you do some study, you'll find the Bible doesn't really make a bunch of distinctions throughout Scripture between the local and the universal church. And that's because really the local church, even us, that we're simply an expression of the universal church. That when you come and worship on a Sunday morning with us, you're in a sense gathering with every believer all over the world today, maybe not in the same time zones, but we're gathering as an expression of the universal capital C church. But you won't find anything in the Bible that's going to say that you can be a member of the universal church without absolutely being connected to the local church as well. That Paul never has that distinction in his mind. It doesn't mean that church membership is like required for salvation. But I would say that no desire to be part of a local church is a red flag to our spiritual health, because it's not the way that God designed us to live as Christians. But this does mean that if we are a Christian and we aren't connected to a local church in a healthy way, then what we're doing is we're cutting ourselves off from one of the primary ways God wants to work in our lives. We're cutting ourselves off from one of the primary ways he wants to work in our lives. And that's why Paul makes such a big deal all throughout his letters about the local church. It's why it's so important for us to think about what it even means to be connected to the local church, which is why we're going to talk for our first point about how, as members of the body of Christ, we need connection. We need to be connected. And because if the church is like a body, you know, then only things that are connected to that body can be really called part of the body. You know, to use the like least gross example I can think of, you know, like your teeth. You know, if you, when your tooth or your teeth are part of your body, you consider that, okay, that my tooth is actually part of me. But once my tooth falls out, I no longer consider that tooth a part of me technically anymore, right? It's separated from me. It's not connected to my body, you know? So in the same way, when we talk about connection, we gotta understand that we're talking about being deeply connected to the church, primarily in relationship. Because really when we talk about connection to the church, we're mainly talking about relationships. And one of the things I've thought about in this message studying for today is that too often today, I think in the church, we think of ourselves as more consumers of content more than connected believers. It's so easy for us these days to think of ourselves in the body as just consumers of content, not connected as a body of believers. Because we are incredibly blessed these days with so much good theological content. That we've got podcasts and books and live streams and videos, and you can listen to some of the best preachers, the best teachers of God's word at any moment from your phone, from your computer. We're so blessed in that way. I've benefited tremendously from that kind of stuff. I'm sure many of you have as well. But I'm afraid that for many of us, sometimes our faith has become a lot more about taking in content than living in community. And when that happens, it becomes so much easier for us to let our connection to the church slide because, you know, I can listen to a Matt Chandler sermon on the drive to work, you know, or I can pull up David Platt's church's live stream while I eat brunch on a Sunday morning. It just becomes easy to focus on content and not on connection. And don't get me wrong, like good, sound theological content is incredibly important, that we work really hard here as a church to provide good, sound content in sermons and Bible studies, things like that. But here's the thing, in the church, we're not meant to be consumers of content, we're meant to be servants of one another. We're not meant to be consumers of content, we're meant to be servants of one another. And our faith is not just content, it's faith lived out in community. It can't be separated out. And it's only when we have deep relationships with people in the church that really the church can be what God created it to be. It's a faith community living together. Because think about it, there's almost 60 different verses in the New Testament alone that talk about the ways that we relate to one another. You know, love one another, forgive one another, bear with one another, all these different one another texts. We preached through some of them a few years ago. But there's almost 60 different verses in the New Testament that tell us how we're supposed to relate to one another. But if the church is nothing more than a place we get content, how could we ever live out those verses? The church has to be a place then that we're in deep relationship and we're in deep community. And I think we need to understand kind of in our current cultural moment, there's really two risks that we face. There's two risks in our current cultural moment. The one is the risk to our health. Obviously, the worry of getting sick right now. And if I can speak specifically to our live stream people for a second, put down the coffee and look at me, you know. But if I can speak to them, you know, for those watching online, know this. We're taking the necessary precautions here to protect your health, that we care tremendously about your health here at ABC. And we completely understand if you're not comfortable right now joining us in person. We totally get that. But know this, that we love you, that we miss you, and we are so ready for you to be here with us whenever you're ready to be here. And we care about you. We love you. We want you here when you're ready, all right? But we still want you connected, even if you're not gathering with us in person, all right? But there's the second risk also, not just the risk to our health, but I think the more subtle, dangerous one we forget about a lot of times is the risk to our health, but also there's the risk to our souls. The risk to our souls. What I mean by that, well, Dietrich Bonhoeffer once said that sin demands to have a man by himself. That sin demands to have a man by himself. And in this time in the world, I know it's so easy for us to become disconnected from the church and to become more spiritually isolated than we ever have before. You know, and I know that just showing up for a church service doesn't mean that you're going to be connected. You can easily kind of come in and leave real quick and not be connected in the way you're supposed to be. I get being here is not instant connection at all. But I think for all of us, whether we're gathering in person or not right now, need to be extra intentional to make sure that we're staying connected to relationships in the church during this time. Because otherwise, if we're spiritually disconnected, it's going to be so easy for us to give into the threats of like spiritual apathy. Where we give into the threats of giving into temptation that we're fighting against, to give into spiritual laziness, you know, to give into, like we talked a couple weeks ago about, to give into being conformed more to the culture than being conformed to Christ. Those are all real threats to us during this time if we're not staying connected to the church. So whether you're meeting in person or not, I want to encourage you to prioritize relationships during this time. Prioritize relationships. And I want to kind of unpack that with two things. Because in a connected body, first off, we're supposed to care for each other, not compete with each other. There is such a thing as healthy competition in the church in some ways. Paul says to outdo each other in showing honor. But many times competition becomes a system of trying to become more important than each other. And that's not the way the church is designed to work. Consider what Paul says in Ephesians 4, 15 and 16. He says this, "Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it's equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love." And notice how Paul says in that text that when each part of the church is working properly, that it builds the whole body up in love. But the opposite of that would mean that if one church of the body is unhealthy, that it affects the health of the rest of the body. So that means in the church, we have the responsibility to keep each other spiritually healthy as a body and to help each other grow spiritually. Yes, we absolutely care for each other when we're suffering, but we also have the responsibility to help each other grow, to help each other flourish in our gifts, to grow more in what God has called us to in life, and to grow more in obeying God's call in our life. And we only can do that kind of stuff if we're deeply connected as a church in relationship. It has to be about relationships. But the second thing is also in a connected body that we hurt together, we don't hurt each other. See what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 12:26. He says that if one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. We live in a culture right now that's very quick to attack each other. It's very divisive. We'll talk more about that in a second. You know, and I realize that probably all of us at some point have been hurt by somebody in the church. That's how life is. If you're part of a family long enough, someone's going to hurt someone's feelings in a family, right? It's how it works. But if one body or one part of your body hurts, it's supposed to lead the whole body to be uncomfortable. So in the body of Christ, if one person is hurting in a similar way that we want to mourn even as a church with those people, that as a church, we're supposed to pray and minister to those that are hurting and be there for them. And if you've been on the receiving end of that, people who hurt with you and mourn with you, been on the receiving end of that, you know how powerful it is. I know so many stories in here of people who have gone through tremendous suffering and the church has been there for them. And I've seen the power of God through that in their life. And we need that during this time, but that only can happen if we have deep relationships with each other. There's probably so many people that have been hurting in different ways during this season that feel isolated. So even more than before, we need to be extra intentional in our church to be connected in deep relationships so we can know who's hurting and how we can be there for them. But the thing is, we can't care for each other and we can't hurt with each other if we're not connected. You know, I know that not everyone is comfortable being in this room right now. We have people watching online. I get that. I know that life has gotten a lot more complicated for all of us. I definitely understand it. Me and my wife had our first child at the beginning of COVID. So like life has been complicated in some ways, you know, but I also know that just showing up for a service doesn't mean you're immediately connected. But whether you're here or not, I want to encourage you this week. Maybe this is the week you need to pick up the phone and call somebody you haven't seen at ABC in a while. Maybe it's the time you need to pick up the phone and call someone you just haven't talked to in a bit. Maybe you need to set up a Zoom hangout with somebody this week just to reconnect with them. Maybe if you're not comfortable being in someone's house, maybe you need to set up a backyard socially distanced hangout. I've done a couple of those recently. Maybe you need some of those kind of things to make sure that you're connected to relationships in the church. Because life is done, like we say, way better in circles than in rows. And we can't be connected in the way we want to be if we're just showing up to a service and leaving and not being connected in relationship. Because staying connected here is going to ensure that you're spiritually healthy as an individual, but it's also going to ensure that we're spiritually healthy as a church. Those are incredibly important things. So that's our first part, is being connected. But here's the second thing. We don't just need connection. We need unity. Because it makes sense that if we need to be connected to the body, then we also need to be a unified body. Consider Jesus' prayer for the church in John 17. One of the main things that Jesus prayed for the church, for disciples today, is that we would be one as he and the Father are one. That we would have a supernatural unity in the church. But when we talk about unity, it's really important to remember that unity does not equal uniformity. That they're different things. Just consider the church in Rome. The church in Rome was a very diverse community. It was predominantly Gentiles, but there also were some Jews there. And Rome in itself was kind of like a modern day, you know, New York City or Washington, D.C. You know, it was a big metropolitan area, so you can imagine how diverse the people in the church were that Paul was writing to. And it's also likely that the church in Rome, they met in house churches. So they probably weren't all meeting together in a big room at the same time. And so Paul knew, you know, how important it was for Christians in Rome to not find their unity in their ethnicity or their culture or being in the same room at the same time. They shouldn't find their unity in even personalities or anything like that, but they had to find their unity in Christ and who they were in the gospel. He knew they had to find their unity in Christ. Because here's the thing, we can be united in a lot of wrong ways. We can be united over the wrong things, but unity in Christ is something supernatural. It's something that the world can't explain. You know, sometimes in an attempt at unity, we can actually end up being unified in complacency. We can be unified in compromise. We can say we're seeking unity, but really just seeking to be comfortable and surround ourselves with people that just look like us and talk like us. But honestly, that's more just uniformity masquerading as unity. Because the world can explain a bunch of people who look the same and talk the same and all come from the same background. They can explain them getting together. But supernatural unity is when there is diversity within the body in all kinds of different ways. Because unity without diversity is uniformity. And uniformity is ultimately unhealthy for the church because it really limits our power and our ability to be a witness for the gospel. Just consider like Jesus and his 12 disciples. If you've ever read the gospels and seen the descriptions of the disciples, Jesus called a very diverse amount of men to be his 12 disciples together. Just an example of a couple of guys in the 12 disciples. You had multiple fishermen, you had a tax collector, and you had a zealot. If you know much about the zealots were these Jews who wanted to overthrow the Roman Empire because they were being oppressed. But then the tax collectors were Jews that had kind of given into the system and they were kind of being servants to the Roman Empire. So the zealot and the tax collector would have hated each other because one guy was saying, yeah, I'll serve the Roman Empire. One guy is saying, I want to overthrow the Roman Empire. And they're both in a Bible study together, essentially. That's a lot of diversity there. And then if you go even outside the 12 disciples, you have women, you have non-Jews who were all following Jesus. So within the first followers of Christ, you have people from multiple socioeconomic backgrounds, you have people from multiple ethnicities, multiple genders, and even political movements, believe it or not. And what could explain that kind of unity, even though they weren't perfect, but what could explain that kind of unity besides Jesus, besides the gospel? And for us, you know, we live in a cultural moment right now of division. We live in a cultural moment of dissension. I'm about to remind you, November's coming soon in 2020, and we live in very much a time of division and dissension. If you're looking for something to be upset about, you don't have to go very far to find it, all right? You just pull out your phone, and really your phone and the news are probably engineered in some ways to make you more opinionated, make you more upset. I mentioned that a couple weeks ago. But in our culture that is exhausted with outrage and disagreement, how much more should the church be a beacon of unity during this time? Be a beacon of true community. And we all have a role to play in this. Just consider what Paul says in Hebrews 10. In Hebrews 10, 24 and 25, he says this. He says, and let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Now notice in these verses, Paul doesn't say, let us stir up one another. He says, let us stir up one another to love and good works. He doesn't say, let's stir up each other over dissension and division. Let's stir up each other in dissension and division or opinions. No, he says, let us stir up one another to love and good works. And there are lots of things in the church that we can't afford to disagree about. Lots of things we can't afford to. We can't disagree on the gospel, about salvation by grace through faith. We can't disagree on our command to obey the Great Commission. We can't afford to disagree on those kind of things, but there are many things in the church we can afford to disagree about and still be unified in Christ, and still be unified in him. So the question, though, is what are we seeking to stir up each other to? What are we seeking to stir each other to? Because unity in Christ is going to lead us to stir up each other to love Christ more, to love our neighbor, to be on mission in the world. We're going to stir each other up to do those kind of things. Not to be more divided over opinions. Because otherwise, if we seek to stir up division, the church isn't going to be united, it's not going to be healthy, and what can an unhealthy body do but maybe sit around and try to get better? We don't need to be an unhealthy and a sickly body during this time when the world is out there right now needing hope in the gospel. It needs an example of unity. We don't need our church being sick, trying to get better, healing, but we need to be on mission together. We need to be an active, healthy body fulfilling the Great Commission together. So we want to be a united body. So that's the second thing. And the third is this, and we'll begin to wrap up today. So first off, we need connection. Second off, we need unity. But third, we need each other. We need each other, because that's really one of Paul's main points in Romans 12 in calling the church a body, is to show that every person in the body of Christ has a different function. They have a different role, and they're all important to the health of the body, but no one person is independent of the body. No one person can say, I don't need the body. You could say it this way, you know, in the body of Christ, we're all needed, not useless or needless. We're all needed, not useless or needless. Let's talk about this too for a second, okay? Here we're going to pull in more of 1 Corinthians 12. Read with me, if you will, it'll be on the screen as well. But 1 Corinthians 12, 14 through 20, Paul says this. He says, for the body does not consist of one member, but of many. Yet the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body. That would not make it any less part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body. That would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would be the sense of hearing? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many members, yet one body. And I love that picture because it really shows the Bible has humor in it. Just imagine a body being one giant eyeball. Like if we had a bunch of eyeballs rolling into church this morning, like the lint they'd be picking up from the floor and stuff, it'd be just weird and gross. It's supposed to be a weird, funny picture Paul's making there. You know? But if we forget that sometimes, the Bible's funny sometimes. You know. But I know in the body of Christ, it's so easy sometimes for us to wonder if we're really making a difference. You know, sometimes we feel like, okay, I'm just kind of filling a seat. Yeah, I'm contributing financially, which is a big contributor. Like we are very thankful for that, you know. But sometimes we feel like, okay, I just fill a seat. Maybe I write a check. I don't feel like I'm really contributing in the way I want to in the body. You may feel like the gallbladder of the church. Like, what's the point of that thing? No one really knows. Like, it's kind of necessary, kind of not. You know, you may feel like that in some ways. You know, we see other people who are teaching, singing. We see people who are being way more patient with two-year-olds than we ever could be. We don't want to deal with that, you know. And we wonder if we really have a way to actually contribute to the church. I understand that. But I think one of the downsides of our modern way of doing church is that we've unfortunately put a lot of focus on the more upfront kind of stuff, you know, the things done on a stage. But if you look at the verses after ours today, which John Matthews will get into next week, I'm very excited about him sharing God's word. But if you look at the list that Paul makes there, and really all over his letters, most of the gifts that Paul mentions are things that primarily happen in relationships, not just events. They're things that happen in relationships, not just events. And yes, preaching, prophecy, all those kind of things are in there, right? But the focus ultimately is on relationships. Because the truth is that we all have gifts that God has given us. Every Christian has gifts that God gave you when you were born, and he has gifts he gave you when you were born again. You have natural gifts that he's given you in your personality, your experiences, things like that. But we all have gifts that God has given us when we're born again, spiritual gifts that he's given us to use in the church. And know this, is important to know. God didn't make a mistake when he made you the way you are. God did not make a mistake when he gave you your gifts. God did not make a mistake when he gave you your personality. Yeah, our personalities may need to be refined. We may have some sinful things in there that need to be kind of worked out. But God didn't make a mistake when he made you the way you are to fit into the body of Christ. Because if God has placed you here at our church, then we need you, that you're important here, that we can't be the healthy and fully functioning body that we need to be to live out our mission if you're not a part of us and without your presence here. Because there's a variety of people in this room who have different personalities, different backgrounds, and different passions, and we need to fit together and work together to accomplish all God wants to do in our church and through our church. That there's people here with different passions about different issues, different passions about reaching different people, that we work together as a church to complement each other in that. We're not competing over these things, but we're working together to do more than we ever could do alone and that we ever could do as a smaller group of people. So don't think you don't matter here. You matter tremendously, whether you feel that way sometimes or not. And especially here in our season of transition that we're in as a church, know that there are so many ways that you can use your gifts here at the church. And one of the ways sometimes you even discover more what your gift is by doing stuff. I love spiritual gift tests. They're great. But sometimes the best way to figure out your gift is by just like getting messy, doing a couple of things you didn't know if you really wanted to do and finding out, hey, I love this. Like, I never really felt called to college ministry initially. Like, I wanted to be more of a worship minister for a while, but I kind of, not on a whim, but kind of by God's leading, took a college ministry internship. And God said, you know what, Kyle? Like, you're actually called to college ministry. I didn't feel this divine call from the Lord saying, hey, be a college pastor. Like, but it was in the midst of doing ministry, God refined my call and led me to where I am today. So sometimes part of our gifting and figuring out where we're called is by getting active, by doing a couple of things, by serving. You may think you'd never love kids ministry, that you're kind of afraid of children or something, you know, but you get into helping with kids, you're like, I love this, you know? So many times you need to like try out some stuff, get active, and that's a great way to figure out your giftings. That may require you to get stretched a little bit, and that's okay because that stretching is good for us. It's how God refines stuff and clarifies things. But we need that. We need to be stretched. We need to know that we all have a role to play in the body. So here, if you're looking for ways to serve, I can give you a long list today of ways to get plugged in and do some stuff. Please come talk to one of our staff members. We'd love to get you plugged in. But on the second thing, first off, we don't want to feel useless, but also we don't want to feel needless. We don't want to feel like we don't need anyone else in the church. Let's finish Paul's thoughts in 1 Corinthians 12 there. In verses 21 through 25, he says this. He says, the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again to the head, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And on those parts of the body that we think less honorable, we bestow the greater honor. And our unpresentable parts are treated with greater modesty, which our more presentable parts do not require. But God has so composed the body, giving greater honor to the part that lacked it, that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. And this really kind of comes back in some ways to last week's message, that we don't think too highly of ourselves, but think rightly, because that we need to know that everyone is important in the body, and everyone has a critical role to play in it, that we don't want to think too highly of ourselves in the body. Because like with our bodies, you know, there are parts that we don't think are very important until we almost lose them or they get injured. And then we begin to realize just how important they are. Because every one of us is needed, but none of us are necessary. Everyone's needed, but no one's necessary. That we're all replaceable in different ways. That God can do what he wants through a variety of people in his church. But we are needed, wanted to be used in the body, but we're not necessary. And there's been multiple times in my life that God has used different circumstances to remind me that I'm not even necessary. I promise that I think God let me get the flu one time to remember that our college ministry can run without me, that I was out for a week, and I was like, okay, like, it's got to be handled, and lo and behold, things didn't fall apart while I was sick, you know? And God reminded me that you're not as necessary as you think you are sometimes in the church, but we're all needed. And so we want to have a right and a balanced perspective of what role that we play, because we all have different things we can contribute, and we all matter in the body, all right? So as we begin to wrap up today, that's one practical note, is that if you're thinking about ways to get more connected here to our church, you know, if you're not a member of our church, that's probably the best way to initially get more connected and learn about ways to serve here. And so like Jared mentioned in the announcements, we're going to do a membership class in 2 weeks on October 11th, where we'll talk a lot more about what it means to be a member, what it means to be plugged into our church, and what roles you can play in our church. And so if you haven't become a member, if you just want to learn more about what it means to be a member, there's no commitment to becoming a member by coming to the class. If you just want to learn more, we'd love to have you guys come join us on October 11th. We'll feed you lunch and we'll talk more about membership. So we'd love to have you come join us for that. But I want to encourage you, during this time where we're just in a transitional season as a church, but also a weird season as a culture and world, don't lean away and don't pull out of the need for deep community during this time. But realize that just as much as we need to hear God's word preached to us and we need to study God's word, we also need each other to be vessels that God uses to shape us more into the image of Christ. That we can't be Lone Ranger Christians ever, but especially in the time of COVID. That we need each other. We need to lean into relationships. So for you this week, who maybe do you need to reconnect with maybe, or maybe just hang out with again, whether you're going to be here in person for a Sunday or not? How can you reach out to people and stay as connected as possible during this time? Because it's vitally important for your spiritual health and for the health of our church. But as we close, if you've never put your faith in Jesus, if you've never become part of the universal body of Christ, I would love to talk to you more about what that means, what it means to be a Christian. I'll be down here on the front row if you'd like to talk more about that. But also, if you just need prayer today, We would love to pray for you. We have some people who are a part of our prayer team who would love to pray and encourage you in whatever's going on right now. They'll be down front as well to pray for you. But whatever way you feel led to respond today, please come. We'd love to minister to you in that way, okay? So I want to pray for us, and then we will respond in song. So let's pray. Father, we ask for your mercy and your forgiveness and the fact that I know many of us, myself included, sometimes forget how vitally important your body is in our lives, that our Western American individualism many times pushes us to think that we can handle life on our own, that we don't really need community in the way that, honestly, the Bible tells us. But Lord, we come here today confessing that we need each other, that we need connection to this body, we need unity in this body. And Lord, we come and we ask for you to give us wisdom on the best ways for us, even as individuals and as families, to be connected in a healthy way here. We ask that you would give us unity as a church in only a way that you can do. We ask for supernatural unity here in a divided and just torn apart world. We ask that this church would be a beacon of unity and peace in the world, a beacon of hope. We ask for your blessing, for your divine intervention in our lives to show us our need and to get us connected where we need to be. So Lord, we thank you for the blessing that the church is. I pray that even during this season and in the months and even years to come, that you would help us remember and lean in even more to the amazing thing the church is, the body of Christ is, that we would not push away from it even in hard times, but lean in knowing that we need each other and that you use relationships, you use your church to do a work that really can't happen in any other community at all, but we need the church. So we love you. We ask that you would work both in and through us during this time for your glory. Pray in Christ's name. Amen.